When you live at home with everyone, with your family, you have your routines, don't you?
Yep.
You get up in the morning, you do your, you know, you have your breakfast, you do your teeth, you know where everything is. But when you move to the to Mayfield and we all live together, you've got to make some adjustment, don't you? It's not the same. Now, you may not have your own bedroom, or you may just share your bedroom with one person. Now you've got to share your bedroom with five other people. That's a big shift, isn't it? It's a big difference. And you have to get up here at a certain time. You have to eat at a certain time. You can't have breakfast whenever you want. You know, we all do things together. So there's some big differences between living at home and living together at Mayfield, and you've got to get you've got to adjust to those. Now, when Anna Petra and I first got married, we had to make some adjustments. Our first adjustment that I can remember was over how often you wash towels. So Anna Petra believed that you should wash a towel after 2 days. After 2 days. 2 days in the bathroom, it's got to be washed. I had been living in a house with four men, and one of them never washed his towel. It was just sort of greasy, and it just got to a point where it didn't change anymore, right? But I wasn't like that. I wanted to wash my towel every week. So we had to make an adjustment. We had, you know, it was a bit of tension, our first tension, and we decided to wash our towels twice a week. And that's worked fine since then. But when you start to live with new people in different ways, you've got to make adjustments. Now, what we're going to see in the final chapter of Jonah is that it's the same with living with God. That when you live with God, you've got to make some adjustments. You need to make some adjustments to how you think. You have to make some adjustments as to what God wants and what you want and how this is going to work together. And this is what we see in this final chapter of Jonah, where Jonah has to learn to adjust to what God wants. Okay? So, let's have a look at the first two verses. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Now, this was because God had mercy on the people of Nineveh and didn't destroy them, as he said, as he threatened that he would. And Jonah is actually angry about this. He's angry that God hasn't punished these people. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." So we haven't actually found out yet why Jonah ran away from God. We just knew that he did run away. Now we're actually told why. It's right near the end of the story. We're told why. And what is it here? Jonah says, I fled and went away because I knew you were gracious. I knew you were going to be kind to these people. Now that's strange, isn't it? It's strange that Jonah didn't want God to be kind and nice to these people. He wanted God to judge these people and to punish them. Now we can get some idea as to why that is the case. So come with me in your books to page 12. And I've got some pictures here that I took in the British Museum. And I think you are not going to believe them. You've probably looked at them before, but what I'm going to show you now, I do not think you're going to believe. So page 12, page 13, oh, sorry, okay, on my book it's page 12, so I've got a leader's book. Now, do you see the top picture there? You see both those pictures? They are big carvings. Each one is about this high, about that high. And they actually go, if you look at the bottom one, they go for about 50 metres. So imagine a whole swimming pool or even more, a big Olympic swimming pool, and it's got these carvings this big going all the way down, and you can't actually take a photo of it, all of it, because it goes around corners and does all these things. And the Assyrians used to tell their stories, tell about their conquests, by making these big stone carvings, and they'd have them out in public. And then when anyone came to Nineveh, they could see how big and powerful Nineveh was just by walking around. It didn't matter what language you spoke. The pictures told the story, and the pictures told about how Nineveh conquered all the people around them, and Nineveh subjugated the peoples, and the peoples came as slaves towards Nineveh. Okay? Now, have a look at the top picture. Can you see those men sort of laying down, that, and they look like they're swimming? Can you see the swimmers? Now, have a look underneath them. Can you see what they're swimming on? They've got these tanks. And the little pipes, if you look, go up to their mouths. These are the first references we have to scuba divers. Did you ever think that people were scuba diving 2,800 years ago? So what would happen is, if Nineveh was your enemy and you live near a river, you just might be near the river, and all of a sudden all these soldiers would pop out of the water and you wouldn't even see them coming, and then they'd start fighting you. And so these were most likely the bladders from inside animals. They would get them and wash them clean, because remember, they're killing lots of animals for meat. And so they would get the bladders and then wash them clean, fill them up with air, and then they would use them while they're underwater or swimming or something like that to go and attack their enemies. Now, Nineveh had been attacking Israel. They'd been attacking the people of Israel and enslaving the people of Israel. And so the Israelites, that is Jonah, didn't like them. He didn't like them. And he wanted God to destroy these people. And so we see this, don't we? Look at verse 5. Jonah went out and sat at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Now, he already knows that God's is going to be merciful, but he's still hoping that somehow or other God might destroy this city. And I really want to watch my enemies get it in the neck. I want to see my enemies go down, right? And so I don't want them saved. I don't want them to hear about God and what God's done. I want them to go down. And so even though God's had compassion on them, Jonah goes up and he's looking over the city and he's just waiting. Maybe God will destroy them. Maybe God will destroy them. God now teaches Jonah a lesson, and that's with this plant. And so what we see is that Jonah's got this shelter, but it's the Middle East, it's hot, it's windy, and so God makes this plant grow, and it's a nice shady plant. Now, you know how good shady plants are on a really hot day? You know, you can get underneath a tin roof, and that sort of protects you from the sun. But you know when you can still feel it coming through the tin roof and you go, oh, you know, it's still pretty hot. But when you get in the shade of a nice tree, of nice bushes, it takes all the heat out of the sun, doesn't it? And it's really nice. And so God makes this tree grow up, this plant grow up for Jonah. And so God is kind to Jonah. God's kind to him. God wants to teach him a lesson, and God says, okay, you're waiting there. He doesn't say, go home, don't be silly. He goes, I'll make a really nice plant for you, gives you shade, you're going to enjoy it, it's going to be fantastic. And so Jonah is enjoying the plant, enjoying the shade, and saying, hey, this is pretty good now. I've got a nice place here. I can wait for God to destroy my enemies. But then God comes along and says, well, I'm going to take the plant away now. I'm going to take it away. And then Jonah's complaining again to God. He complains lots of times in this chapter, doesn't he? He says, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And God says, well, I gave you the plan. I was just kind to you, but you didn't work for it. You didn't do anything, so I gave it to you, and I've just taken it away. And Jonah's going, oh, I'm not happy about this. I'm not happy. And the point of what God's saying here is what we read in verse 10. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? You see, God was kind to Jonah, and Jonah liked that. He said, that's good. And what he's saying is, shouldn't I be kind and merciful to these other people? There's 120,000 people there. Shouldn't I love others? Shouldn't I love others? Now, I want to give an example as to why this is hard for Jonah and why we need to realize that sometimes this is hard. Because sometimes you might really want God to punish your enemies. So, sometimes people commit crimes. And they might commit a really vicious crime and really hurt or even kill somebody. And unfortunately, this happens in our world. Now, when the police catch them, they get put in prison. And so here's this person who's caused someone a lot of pain, caused a family a lot of pain. They might have killed their daughter or killed their father, right? And the rest of the family probably wants to kill that person. Okay. Now, what happens for many prisoners when they go into prison, and I've been into prison, I didn't go in as a prisoner, but I've been into prisons in Africa and prisons in Australia. And what happens is sometimes the prisoners become Christian in prison. They become a Christian. And they say, I now believe in God, right? I know that I've done the wrong thing. And, you know, I want to confess that I've done the wrong thing. And very often people who are not in prison, who were affected by that prisoner, will say, I don't care if you've become a Christian. You can rot in jail. I want you to stay in there. And I don't care if you're a Christian or not. So that's hard to accept them, isn't it? Imagine if a criminal had done something to you. They are in prison and now they say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. That's sort of what's happened to Jonah. Now, when that happens with prisoners in Australia, they still have to serve their time. We're not saying that they don't serve their time and have the punishment for what they've done and stay in prison. But we actually still have to accept those people who may be criminals who have now become Christians. And we need to say, isn't it good that God's had mercy on them? We want God to bless them. Even though they've done the wrong thing, we still want God's blessing for them. Yes, they're going to have to stay in prison, but, you know, I'm glad that you've come to know Jesus. I'm glad that you've got forgiveness of sins. I'm glad that God is being compassionate and merciful to you. So we might read this story of Jonah and just say, oh, that'd be easy to do. You know, he shouldn't do this. But you need to understand that it's not easy for him because the Assyrians have been really hurtful to his people. Now, we see this, don't we, in Jesus' teaching where Jesus talks about loving your enemy and doing good to those who hate you. As you grow up and as you go through life, you need to remember these lessons because there will be times when people will do things that are not nice to you. There may not be many, but there might be some. And you've got to think, how do I respond as a Christian? And we want justice. So if someone does something, if someone abuses you or does something to you that's wrong, of course, you don't just continue and have it. You know, you make sure it stops. But for us as Christians, we do believe that God can save even our enemies. God can save even our enemies. And this is important because we need to remember that we are God's servants. We are God's servants. And God chooses to do what he chooses to do. He loves whom he loves. He loves all people. As we see here, there's the 120,000 in Nineveh, and God says, you know, shouldn't I love all these people? Shouldn't I bring my blessing on everyone? And so because we're the servants of God, we don't tell God what to do. God tells us what to do. And so this is the lesson that Jonah has to learn, that God is a merciful and compassionate God, and sometimes he'll make decisions that we may not like, and he might give mercy to people that we'd rather he didn't. Because, as Jesus said, we are to love our enemy. And this is the lesson that God wants Jonah to learn, that God has a plan, God has a love for all the peoples of the world. You know, the Russians who are fighting the Ukrainians, God has a love for both sides. In the Sudan, where different groups are fighting each other, God has a love for both sides. In Israel with the Palestinians, God has a love for both sides. And that's difficult, but we need to remember that that's who God is, and he has mercy and compassion on people. And we still want justice, we still want the right thing done, but we must remember that we're God's servants and God is the master, and he has mercy and compassion on those whom he will. Thank you.